Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
And we're back.
Yeah. Welcome back, all of our listeners, those that stayed through the intro all to the last one.
All right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, that was a tough edit, Wayne. I can see. Do you cut the first 30 seconds of rain? The second 30 seconds of rain?
Or the third 30 seconds of rain? All right.
The heavy thudding footprints or bat wings, depending on what you might think.
Well, seeing as how the help I got was vampire sound, which, if someone can explain to me what a vampire sound is, I'd love to hear it.
I think you boldly chose to not do any vampire sound.
Well, what is a vampire sound? That's what I mean.
Well,
don't tell me what's not a vampire sound, i.e. that.
Okay. Blood. Ha 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 ha.
All right, how about, let me rephrase it. A non-cheesy vampire sound.
Yeah, I don't...
I'm going to edit crickets in here. All right.
About, what, 2 minutes of crickets?
Probably, depending on how long the pause is. All right.
All right. Well, as people have noticed in our first three episodes, we've had sound bites. Mm. So what does Wayne have in store for us this episode? I don't know.
Neither will the listeners, because they're just going to skip over them.
Obviously, crickets to represent various horrible monsters.
So for our fourth and final, I can't even count. I was like, first? Whoa, where am I?
Sure counted those 30 seconds so easily enough.
Each one of them.
I had a long time to do it.
2 minutes.
I kept starting over. Did it four times. So today, for our final episode in the month of horror, we're doing 777, the number of the East. So 666 is the number of the beast in Europe, but there is no beast in the East. So in Japan, actually, the mark of evil is 777.
Which is why I see people get up and run out of the pachinko slot parlors when they get them.
Yeah, when they get in the slots, they run away from the money because they know it'll be unlucky money.
Well, after all, the money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, it's 100, and, as you said, Chris, 111 times, no.
I realized that joke was bad after I said it. I'm glad you repeated it.
That's our soundbite. I'm going to use that. Just repeat that about 30 times. At
you
the
know, 111
episode.
Numbers more evil than the number of the beast.
Wow, after 40 episodes, you think I'd learn to not repeat one of Chris's jokes.
I said.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do a world tour of horror. So we're going to visit all seven continents. We'll have seven horrors. And, as an added challenge, we'll be talking about each one in 7 minutes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just to clarify, it's one horror per continent.
Yeah, I figured people
would. Well, if you say like seven, yeah, fair enough. You know I love to split hairs, but if seven continents, seven horrors, they might think we'd end up with 49.
I suppose. And why'd they call the episode 777?
And each one is 49.
All right. So you at least had Chris's joke to insulate you. I just have my own self. So why do I repeat stuff that sounds good in my head? I don't know. You think I would have learned by now.
It'd be 49 minutes on each continent, but 45 of that would be rain.
All right.
Or other weather sounds.
So long as they were appropriate to the continent, I don't see the problem.
And after all, it rains in pretty much every continent, so yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So just to kick us off, we thought we'd start where we are in Asia, and then we'll be traveling to our end destination, where we came from, North America. Mm. Home sweet home.
Very appropriate.
I guess so. Well, we could have gone the other way as well and ended in Asia.
All right. Yes. So really, any which way we went would have been fine. Yes.
Could have started in Africa. We genealogically came
all
from
right,
there.
Yeah. You sure you wouldn't sound from Antarctica?
No, I don't know why we right, started from right. there.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, from
once
south,
again, I'm just
south to right. north, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And as we ramble, people are never, they're never going to be able to do this in 7 minutes, but we're up for the challenge. So to kick it off, Chris.
All right, so we're starting off with Asia. Yeah, despite how so many numbers of choices in Asia there are, we've decided to go with Japan, because, like Lyle said, that's where we are. I went with one of the Japanese evil spirits called the Kuchisake Onna, which means the slit or cut-mouthed woman. So, yeah, it's basically a story of an evil spirit of a woman who was had her mouth sliced open from cheek to cheek, so she can open her mouth and you can see all the way inside. It's pretty horrific. But the deal is that she walks up to you at night wearing a mask or somehow hiding her face and asks you if she's beautiful. And if you answer no, then she'll kill you. And if you answer yes, then she'll reveal the mask and say, "What do you think now?" And then
in that voice?
Maybe a little bit higher pitch since it's a woman, but yeah. And then she'll slice open your mouth as well so that you can be just as beautiful as her.
I've got a flowchart here.
Yeah, I think, I think you did a flowchart. I did bullet points, but okay.
Well, in the flowchart, if you say yes, she'll say, "How about now?" And then if you say no, she cuts you in half.
I heard that some of the versions have her being cut in half. Some just have her killing you.
If you say yes, she'll cut your mouth like hers.
Yes.
And then there's like, I think from the 1970s, there's some variations started to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you say you're average or so-so.
Mm. Well, yeah, I looked up some of those ways to defend yourself against her. There's one, answering if you're so-so, or sorry, saying, yeah, you're okay. If you ask her back, "How about me?"
Right.
That'll confuse her. An extremely Japanese one is you say, "I'm very sorry, but I have an appointment and I have to be going."
Yeah, I read that too. Apparently she's a very, malign, but also very polite evil spirit.
Well, like, the kappa, the little turtle things with the bowls on their head, the way you
cucumbers?
You bow to them and then they bow back.
Yeah, the water falls out of their head.
Yeah. One I found really interesting about the defense is there's one that if you throw seeds at her, she has to stop and pick up or count the seeds, which is just like vampires, like we talked about last
time. Yeah, I remember that too. Of course, it could just mean you throw them in her face and
get stuck in her teeth.
apparently,
or her cheeks.
The one I read, she has a lot of them. Like, there's a lot of the pointed teeth in the mouth that opens up.
It seems a really long, really wide variance of whether she's actually just a real person, which they thought in a big panic in the 60s and 70s, or if she's actually some kind of evil spirit, in which case she has all kinds of monstrous features to her. So.
Well, the one I heard was... actually, the part I read said it kind of started in the Edo period.
Oh,
was, I guess, kind of a story of revenge. The husband killed his wife in this way because kind of thought she was too beautiful, might possibly be, cheating on her.
Right.
Or cheating on him, rather.
Yeah, I read that as well. Back then she hid her face behind her kimono.
Right.
But now she wears a surgical mask, as I'm sure everybody's seen on TV. It's quite common now.
Why do people wear surgical masks in Japan, Chris?
To hide the fact that they're...
Or Wayne.
Kuchisake Onna?
Yeah, okay. It is that, yeah. It's actually a country of hideously deformed people.
To not spread germs if they have a cough or sickness, because everybody works when they're sick.
Well, you think that, but the number of people I've seen who don't cover their nose and then don't cover their mouth when they sneeze, or don't cover their
nose. It's also allergies.
Well, it depends what the actual reason is, but it's the image of it. I think a lot of people wear the mask so that when they go to work, they can get sympathy for it.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, really? We have a person in our office, she wears a... She used to, when she worked in the accounting section, she would wear it every day because there's someone who's a little bit smelly.
Ah.
And then when she transferred to another section, suddenly she no longer had her allergies or chronic disease.
So she was allergic to stink.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I kind of liked that in the story in that, here's kind of this urban legend.
Yeah.
Right? And it got updated to the time that it kind of resurfaced in. Like Chris said, the original one in the Edo period, she would hide her mouth with the part of her kimono.
Yeah.
But then now when it kind of got, came back, not into fashion, but in 1970s, it kind of got updated with the fashion that was current.
Well, I think that's pretty common of most urban legends. If they stay alive, they have to be kept as modern.
Oh. Yeah, they have to be plausible. And it's not really scary if it's 100 years ago.
100 years ago, there was a man with a hook.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That must have been scary 100 years ago.
I suppose.
And the hook was caught in the reins of the horse. The couple was...
And that couple has long since passed. But it is interesting, some of the things that have changed the way. Now it's famous that she wears a raincoat when she's walking around and sees you. And I couldn't find any reason for it. Did you guys, perhaps?
No.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but that's just...
It's kind of... spooky, a raincoat.
I think
flowing. Yeah. What I really liked about it is the question and answers.
Because
it kind of reminded me of the Sphinx, the riddle of the Sphinx. And Sphinx, and if you answer incorrectly, it attacks you.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but here, if you answer correctly, you still get killed.
Yeah, that was a bit unfair.
Yeah. And the thing they didn't say is...
Well, that's the thing about the 70s. They're we're going to modify this, give it a little sporting chance. Well, what's with the Edo period? It was just your dad.
Yeah.
Or your hideous latest form.
I was wondering, like, so when she slices you, right? I mean, the version I read, she kind of died from that mutilation, so I guess it's implied that you would die as well when she cut you. So it's kind of like, oh, all right.
Well, I guess...
Well, I don't know.
What do they call that? Glasgow smile? Oh, they actually keep changing, but where they slit the corners of your mouth and then, like, stick a credit card or something, and then they kick you.
Huh. I've heard of the Glasgow necktie.
I think that's, you slit the throat and stick something in, yeah.
Through the throat.
Right.
Yeah. I think that the smile changes depending, has a few different cities or locations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically, there's actually an actor, he's not a famous actor, but you, a character actor, but he's got, like, big scars, and that's what happened to him.
Hmm.
He's from the British Isles. He might be from Glasgow. Got 45 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, so I was just about to say, what would you do with this in the game? Apart from dropping it in
the
supernatural
again, it would
thing.
Be the, it would be the question. It's kind of like where your counter against the supernatural creature is like mentally outfoxing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best way I could think of this one is just to do it as an investigation type of game. And especially this would be good in a lot, because this isn't a worldwide popular one. You don't know this about this a lot in... the Western country. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can. And, so try and find out why are all these kids disappearing? Why are they, why are bodies being shown up with big slit mouths? And,
not much of an investigation, is it?
Well, I just thought it was cool because so many people in Japan wear, yeah, but so many people in Japan wear the mask. You kind of have the big population to choose from.
Exactly.
Bam, nailed it. We're done.
And, good. Okay.
All right.
That's why I was talking over you guys.
Oh, so what's your excuse every other time?
You're wasting my time. That's not very nice.
All right.
So next up is Australia.
Australia! Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, I guess we should say Australasia, maybe, because include New Zealand, which we're not really going to talk
about.
Depends
on what you've chosen, really.
So there's a few things we could have... well, I guess the clock's ticking. There's a few things we could have chosen, like Bunyip or the Rainbow Serpent, right. But didn't really find that terribly frightening or interesting. But to me, although I've seen a lot of Australian films, and I understand it's a very diverse country, with a rich culture. But to me, Australia means Mad Max.
Yeah.
And the Mad Max 2.
The Road Warrior.
Mad Max 2 is not even... It was my favorite movie, but now the sum of us is...
Who runs Barter Town?
Did I mention Thunderdome?
That movie didn't happen.
I didn't mention Thunderdome.
The Road Warrior and Mad Max.
So the horror there are the biker gangs. So one of the most chilling scenes I've seen in a movie is when the biker gang runs down Mad Max's wife and kid, child. Mm-hmm. And just the way that shot and everything. You just, yeah, it is so, so disturbing. But there's also a lesson there. If you're running away from a biker gang, maybe not the highway.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Maybe off-road. Maybe run into a house. I don't know. Yeah. So I think our Australian horror is biker gangs. Now this probably doesn't. So this doesn't need as much setup as the slitmouth woman, but just a couple things to throw out there is one term, you know, when you talk about all these outlaw motorcycle gangs or biker gangs, you know, somebody quoted or was misquoted and said 99% of all bike gangs or bike organizations or associations are actually law-abiding, and it's only the 1% that are the criminal element.
Hmm.
So they've kind of taken this on and saying, like, they're the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one percenters, which has been kind of...
With those Occupy Wall Street things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, wow, I thought that was not terribly original, but I didn't think it was this unoriginal. So there's the one percenter idea, which I thought was good. And also then there's the wings. And there's some urban legends actually built into these like biker wings that bikers wear. Like,
I've never heard this before.
There's the green wings, and it means that the biker has had sex with a woman with a venereal disease.
So, and, in other words, stay away from them.
Sure, yeah. they're the purple wings, and that means that they've committed necrophilia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people think that these are actually urban legends started by the biker gangs themselves, okay. And that maybe the green or purple wings, if they even exist, yeah. Mean something else that they won't let on.
Right.
Another thing that's...
No red wings?
Kind of... these were the ones that kind of stood
which
out.
Which means that, like, it's common enough that they need a special color wings for necrophilia. That's kind of...
Well, if it's true.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the role of women in a biker gang.
Spreader of venereal diseases to get those green wings?
Waits for the back of your bike.
Yeah, basically they have a very subservient role, and even if they had a job or something like that, they would give that the money to their man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that there's never been a female full gang member, but there have, like even in the Hells Angels, but
I'm sure
predominantly they are in a subservient role. So those are some of the elements that I think stood out about biker gangs. And just kind of that image. They're like a wolf pack on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
When Russell Crowe was preparing for Gladiator, you know, he thought, well, I'm going to be, you know, kind of this leader of men. So one of the things he did is he got a bunch of his buddies. And you can imagine Russell Crowe is definitely the alpha male of his group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did a bike tour through Australia.
Did he earn any wings?
Yeah. No one dared ask him about the green wings.
One green, one purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that mean? It means I got crotch rot from a corpse.
Thank you for that, Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Some things are best left unsaid.
No.
Less is more.
No. There's no filter that goes in my mouth.
Okay, so how would you put this in a game? Because I'm kind of imagining that, like, in a real life situation, I can imagine it being really horrifying if you're out somewhere and you're surrounded by a bunch of guys on bikes and they kind of creeping, you know, like very menacingly, because, you know, you could die in that situation pretty easily. But in a game, I don't know, I don't imagine it being quite as horrific, because you'd have to be, basically, because like if it happened to me, I'd be scared because I'm not really a fighter or anything. I just would probably get kicked up. But in a game, I'd imagine that most characters would probably have some kind of a better way to defend themselves.
Do you play Vampire with us?
Well, that's true. But
I kind of see what you're saying, and yeah, I guess it's kind of not a shame, but yeah, it is a shame that you weren't there for the torture episode. But like, I get the sense that like a biker gang kind of wouldn't just be satisfied in beating you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would kind of start small, like vandalize your property. You know, like send messages to you, not exactly like flaming crosses on your lawn because they're not Ku Klux Klan, but, you know, similar style things.
Why did you say that?
Because I was trying to think of other ways they would intimidate you and terrorize you before they actually went in for, you know.
Broken windows.
Yeah, broken windows. And if you got a family, well, then, yeah, like, you're not so much worried about yourself anymore, but just like in Mad Max, if you got like a wife and kids, mm-hmm. then.
So, okay.
They're the fear.
Stuff that they would do to them. To get back at you could be pretty horrific. Yeah.
Okay, the way I was imagining it was kind of as a short-term threat, just by chance. You know, you come out of a convenience store one night and there they are. But I see what you're saying, where they're kind of like hunting you down. Then
yeah, I mean, you look at, of course, the Mad Max movies. They have the good people under siege.
Mm-hmm.
They're a storm. They're like human locusts. They're like a human plague. But that modern element can sometimes really add. They're the Mongol horde on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of those ancient fears of just this human wave that's going to just overwhelm you.
Mm-hmm.
Race the Devil, I think is the name of the movie. And this is about like devil worshippers,
mm-hmm.
but it's a chase movie, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really exciting film. Mm-hmm. And then if, of course, the biker gang can lend itself to a really exciting and horrific, because yeah, you know what they do, their initiation rites. Mm-hmm. So imagine what they're going to do
Green
to
wings.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you like some purple wings?
I know your time's over, but I got one more question. If you were to run this, how would you, or what setting would you do it? Post-apocalyptic?
I could be modern. Any, I think.
I agree, but if you were to do it, what would you do?
I would probably stick to the modern elements, but when I was preparing for the episode, I was thinking it's like even just regressing it back to the horses.
Hmm.
And that, because you, yeah, biker gangs, you're
horse
like,
gangs.
Yeah, like a horse gang, but not like an army or whatever, but like kind of like that. These not even paramilitary, but these like criminal organizations that are really mobile.
Bandits.
On horses, brigands. But imagine taking the modern elements of the biker gang and combining it with the fantasy elements of a brigand and what kind of thing you could make there. Mm. Or then I know we're over time, we've already broken our promise. But the Reavers.
Good job cutting me off though in the first one.
The Reavers of Firefly.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, now that you mentioned that is a very biker gangish thing. Especially with the purple wings and stuff.
Right. And moving right along.
Yes, cut that off there.
Towards Antarctica. And I'll admit we weren't spoiled for. Yeah, it's me again. Sorry. So, well, no one wanted Australia. Let's be honest.
And can I just say you did a great job with it?
Yeah, I think I said. If you guys make me do Australia, it's going to be biker gangs. I'm just giving you the heads up.
And I said biker gangs are fine.
Yeah, anyway. So we're not actually, unlike places like Asia or North America or Europe, or where you're spoiled for choice of what horrors you could do. In Antarctica, when it's populated by penguins, you are not spoiled.
Monster penguins!
So we're going to do penguins. No. Two things kind of stood out in our mind. One was The Thing, especially the 1982 John Carpenter film.
Mm-hmm.
And At the Mountains of Madness.
H.P. Lovecraft.
So, and in both those cases, it's this kind of ancient evil or thing beneath the ice.
Mm-hmm.
In The Thing, it's a shape-shifting alien. In the H.P. Lovecraft novel, they actually find a few things. They find the elder...
What, the elder race?
Yeah, the elder things under the race. I wish I didn't use thing to set that up.
Right.
So they find, like, 14 elder things under the ice, and some of them are really damaged, some of them are pristine. Then they're able to go back to figure out the mountains are kind of ringing the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of look at these murals, and they can see the history of the Elder Things and the Shoggoths, which are these...
What, their servant race?
Yeah. And they're performed to assume any shape, perform any task, reflect any thought.
Oh, shapeshifters there, too. Yeah, but their natural state is just like this big protoplasmic mass of iridescent bubbles with a mouth, much like the thing.
Right. Yeah. And then on top of that, and of course, I don't want to ruin the book for anybody because it's really good. But then on top of, it's like it's an escalation. So you found the elder things, and then there's something that worse than them, the Shoggoths, and then there's actually this evil that you never really find out what it is. But everyone's afraid of this evil, and then even looking, one guy looks at it or looks at something, and it just breaks his mind.
Wow, typical Lovecraft fashion.
Yeah. So that's Antarctica's horror. It's the thing that's been undisturbed for millennia that should never have been disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've disturbed it. Or now,
even a small part of it.
Yeah. And I think, now this sounds so open. I mean, this really, the sky's the limit, or the ground's the limit. The ice is the limit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man, I'm just not good at puns.
Usually, the ground is often the limit. Whenever I fall over, I find I stop there.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
So, I mean, that's the setup, the perfect. And then just what do you uncover?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you can add your own spin to the horror of Antarctica? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Antarctica is isolated. Also, of course, because it's so cold, it, you know, would preserve something for a long time.
Yeah. That's just kind of like the isolation of it, because, it's Antarctica. Like, nobody lives there. Right? That's why this thing has supposedly been undisturbed for millennia, whatever it is. And even just getting there is a challenge, even in modern times. And you're only going to have, like, a small team. And so it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very claustrophobic in my mind, because, here you do have this, you have a whole continent, right? But there's nothing on the continent. Pretty much, it would just be this vast expanse of white.
Mm-hmm.
So everything would look the same. So, plus, like, the elements, you know, you can escape this thing, but into what?
I mean, you can't really get away.
Right, exactly.
Unless you have a helicopter or something like that.
Yeah, and that's done to really good effect in The Thing. I mean, absolutely. They're just trapped.
Hmm.
And you're limited. Like, you can't just run out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wish there was a highway to run down to run over biker gangs.
Yeah.
Won't the biker gangs come
at least, but yeah, you can talk to biker gangs. I mean, you could even do Antarctica itself is the horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like that isolation. I mean, I don't think that'd be a great game to play because you can't really simulate true isolation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even when you play one-on-one.
Mm.
What was the game? What are you going to do? Ignore the player? It's like, you're on your own.
There is a movie recently about that. I think it's called White, where it's an unseen horror that comes in the whiteness of the snow in Antarctica. Mm. I've only seen a preview for it.
I saw one that takes place up north, perhaps the North Pole.
Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it is.
Evil Santa.
I forget what the name is, but it stars Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights. And
that's why you watched it.
Yeah, because it has some Friday Night Lights alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it is, but basically it's nature itself.
Yeah.
But that kind of follows the same lines as something. They're disturbing what's up there. Mm-hmm. They're like exploring where they shouldn't be exploring, and they basically awake something that should never have been awoken.
Yeah. If I were running it personally, I'd really like to play with the enemy within kind of, if you have like a small thing, team. Exactly like the thing, you have a small team, one of the people is untrustworthy, either like under the influence of the evil, or they are the evil themselves, or something along that idea. Mostly because it helps with the isolation that there's no one there, there's only the people, the players in the group that are there, but you have kind of a limitation of the number of NPCs you can have, so some players might want kind of that political intrigue, that social intrigue, and having one of the players, you don't know who, being untrustworthy.
I think that's good, it's hard to have politics sometimes in a small group environment.
Absolutely,
yes. Like, and basically when we're sitting around the table, it's a small group.
Right.
So when you try to do Roman politics, for example, that works better when you can have a lot of NPCs to interact with. But here you kind of have that really good dynamics. And I'm also thinking you could do a nice bait and switch with this, because you can kind of almost set it up like an adventure game, almost like a pulp adventure. You know, they're traveling and it's going to be them against nature and the outdoors. And then it's like, boom, you awaken something and you're like, oh, we didn't expect this. And then part of the challenge of running a horror game, of course, everybody's got to buy in, but sometimes just disturb people. And they're like, we thought it was this game and it's not. But it because it fits.
It doesn't always work.
Well, in a horror game. I think Lyle prefaced that by saying horror game.
Well, if they think they're doing...
Remember with the World War II game?
But if you're like doing Antarctica, they know there's going to challenge a battle against the elements. They just don't necessarily know just how malevolent the elements are going to be. So it's not as if they're doing MASH, which was... If we just talk about your game, it was kind of like MASH and a comedic Dirty Dozen switch to a horror game. This would be more...
Adventure.
You know, adventure, what's going to be our challenge? And they're like, oh, we didn't expect that. And, oh, we didn't expect that we're now going to be at each other's throats. And it looks like our plane is ready to leave.
What plane?
It's gone! He meant that it's over.
I just missed that joke, too. All right, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you did miss that. Yeah, I thought you were playing along.
No. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
And we go up to Africa.
All right. For Africa, I guess kind of like Australia, something kind of mundane, but I think still pretty horrific. We're going to talk about the...
And we should give credit where we got the idea from the forums.
Yes. Well, the Cisco on the forums.
Yeah.
The Muti murders, or medicine murders, which are kind of prominent down around southern Africa. They've kind of been documented since around the 1800s, but... It's, I guess it's kind of hard to nail down evidence because, one, it's kind of obviously taboo and people are kind of tight-lipped about it. But basically what happens is you have these kind of, not witch doctors, but you have these sort of tribal healers who get commissioned by people to make medicine made from human body parts. Because the belief is that, human flesh kind of has this power and so... you'll kind of gain that power a little bit. And usually the flesh that's taken is like soft tissue, like eyelids, lips, genitals, but sometimes it's like whole limbs. And
is Muti short for mutilation?
No, Muti actually means medicine in whatever language.
In Africana now, which I know is like kind of, I forget what the original language is, but now the Africana, it's slang for medicine.
And kind of the horrific part, apart from the mutilation.
Which is, I remember when we were looking up what Cisco recommended, and you're like, medicine?
Medicine is like,
This is seems pretty politically incorrect.
But basically the pieces kind of have more, or the flesh pieces have more power if the person is still alive while you're harvesting them.
Because?
They actually gain energy by the screams of the victim.
Yeesh.
So, mundane, but...
Pretty horrible.
Yeah, pretty horrible. So, reading that actually kind of reminded me a little bit of the movie The Rainbow and the Serpent, when we did for Voodoo. Because even though they're not collecting body parts, kind of the evil guy in that would, like, collect blood, and he had kind of all these little jars of the spirits, and because that's usually the form that the potion takes, it's like a little jar of, like, a paste or an ointment that the person carries around with them.
Reminded me of the urban legend with the kidney thefts.
Oh, yeah.
You wake kidney up in a bathtub of ice.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And with a scar where your kidney used to be.
Yeah.
And that's the game, Find Your Kidney.
There's an investigative game. Talk about the slipmouth woman. That's the investigation. Where's my kidney?
And you have a time limit.
One. 24 hours.
No, you have a time limit because they took both kidneys.
Yeah. I was thinking
it's time to go. I really gotta go.
Yeah. But this one, you could pretty much kind of do anything because there's no, I mean, like, there's a reason that the organs are, not organs, but these parts are harvested, but you could open that up to anything, really. Like
any setting, any era.
Oh, the thing I thought was interesting for
or a political game. Sorry to cut you off, but even the political thing, because when they were doing an investigation, I think there was a recent one in 2010.
Right. The Thames torso case.
Yeah, and I don't know if it came up in this investigation, but they found no. This is back when the in the 90s, when the South Africa, the turmoil in South Africa, and they found out some people were using Muti to actually just assassinate people for political reasons, and you're like, that was kind of bizarre to use a Muti murder to hide the fact that it was just a regular political murder, and you're like, does that make it better?
Well, actually, I suppose it kind of does, though, because I mean, Moody's got people who believe in it that they would protect it; they wouldn't tell where they got these things, right?
Well, maybe because it's criminal and probably go to jail.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there's also that.
Yeah, true. There's a difference, though. I mean, someone who's just doing a criminal thing, you can take them to an interrogation room, and I could see them breaking a lot easier than someone who's actually got a belief system behind it.
Well, and actually, just to play on that, is if you go through all these levels, and it's cult, black magic, black magic, but the actual person at the head doesn't really believe any of this.
Ah, that'd be fun, hey?
And that there's that kind of, they're just evil because, you know, for a power grab, or maybe they're just sick. And, you know, like certain cult leaders will, like, they'll use, like, whatever religious trappings in order to, like, have sex with lots of women.
Yeah.
Right.
Or have sex with children. And this is person.
Or dead bodies if you're part of the biker gang.
Yeah. Purple wings, man. Purple wings. Yeah. And they're just using, they could even be like a reoccurring villain. Mm-hmm. And they just use different belief systems. To achieve their ends. They're the most ruthless and vicious Machiavellian villain around. Like, you can't even put a finger on them. There's nothing that you can use mentally or psychologically against them because you don't know what... All you know is that they're evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're found beneath the ice. And they ride a bike.
I kind of saw it as, like, basically the belief in the sort of the power of human flesh. You know, and the idea that human flesh has a kind of power, and I could see that being used in kind of like any setting or any era. I mean, how creepy would it be if you found out that like cosmetics were actually made with human flesh, or even if you go into like a sci-fi thing, you know, when you have cloning technologies, you're just like, you know, cloning various parts to make products or to make these things.
Yeah, I think I've read a story before about that where people say there's like cloned limbs and cloned organs and such, but the big twist in the end is that it's not just the limbs that they're cloning, they're creating whole people and then killing them for their parts.
Oh, well, it's like the movie The Island, which...
That's right, yeah.
Which I never saw.
It's not as bad as people said, and I thought the premise was pretty cool. Actually,
premise was good, but when they said, oh, and they're clones on the island in the commercial, I'm like, well, screw you, I don't gotta see the movie now. So.
Well, I don't think that's the big reveal.
Oh, whatever, I'm still not interested. Not going back.
Okay.
Yeah. But even, you could do it's not clones at all. They're just grafting on stuff and if they've cut it off somebody, has a lot we can.
I'm sure if you do like eclipse phase, you can just regrow stuff. So how sick would it be if you cut something off, just stick the person in the tank and regrow it just to cut it off again?
Yeah, you could take sadism to another level. I just, before we, flee this continent.
Yeah.
It's just about the cosmetics and things like that where, the cosmetics are better. Because it's made from
human flesh.
From human flesh.
It's made from people.
All right. People parts.
I was resisting the whole 7 minutes, but
that's a good one. And now on to Europe.
Turn page.
Wait for beep.
Beep. That kind of backfired, put each horror on a different page. So in Europe, we were the opposite of Australia, spoiled for choice. One thing that kind of stood out, I'm a big fan of Bauhaus, and they have a song, The St. Vitus' Dance.
Oh, here, I thought we were going to talk about the evils of, Europop.
No.
All right.
So this is kind of like...
15 seconds, you'll never get
back. and we're on a time limit. Thank you for cutting me off. But basically, the dancing mania that kind of was in Europe from about the 7th to 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just miming a little dance here. Yeah. Throw a lot
dancing to Beethoven. Come on, man.
Oh, it's dancing mania.
300 years before Bauhaus was around.
1 minute God.
Yes. And basically this is characterized by like rapid, jerky moment, movements. Mm-hmm. People dancing, until exhaustion. Some people dancing until death.
I just can't stop.
Yeah. And they would, travel.
And not in a good way.
Ooh. And like, somebody might go to a village and start dancing, and then it would spread. Hmm. Like, more people would start dancing. I mean, there's one case, one of the biggest outbreaks of dancing mania was in Germany in Aix-la-Chapelle, and then it spread through all these different cities in
the
Germany.
The deadly polka plague.
Are you just going to, like, punctuate every sentence I say?
I'm trying. I ran out after that.
Let's dance. So, I'm curious, is this... at all? Is this?
It's real.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask. Is it real? I mean, has
now there's
been
a thing
on
called Sydenham's choreia, uh-huh. And choros is Greek for dance. Apologies to our Greek listeners. And that's an actual disease that Michael Caine had it, and it's the primary cause is a rheumatic fever, uh-huh. And basically it's like jerky.
So does it affect your nerves?
Yeah, I suppose
it
does. Yeah.
But that wouldn't be something that's contagious, though.
Yeah, you can cure it with penicillin. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which implies it's a bacteria.
Oh, so
which implies it could be contagious.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But this is, they actually don't know the cause of St. Vitus's dance. Mm-hmm. So this is similar. Sometimes they call Sydenham's choreia St. Vitus dance. Mm-hmm. And the St. Vitus's dance, who is the patron saint of dance, is the dancing mania. So there's a distinction.
Okay.
Now, there's different theories what caused it. Mm-hmm. But I think the consensus is that it was some sort of mass hysteria or mob thing. Hmm. And there's cases of like only children getting it. And there's like they kind of think that, for example, the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Yeah, there's, it's like maybe one influenced the other.
Hmm. Very interesting.
And like musicians would like play music for them while they were dancing. And
it's like, no, stop. Stop playing. Make me stop dancing.
Ooh, there's something similar in Italy where they're bitten by, I believe, like tarantulas or something, and they would dance to basically separate the venom from the blood. And yeah.
Huh. I wonder if that actually worked.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if they danced till they died, I guess not.
Well, I reckon if you were dancing, it would make your blood circulate faster. So if you could clean up the poison, it would do it quickly. But if it were actually deadly poison, it would probably kill you faster.
Well, they say if you get bitten by a snake, you shouldn't.
Right. You should
overexert yourself because it brings the poison quicker to your heart.
Right.
But then there's like certain observations. They said that the dancers would react strangely to the color red.
Huh.
And the people in Italy, that's the tarantula one, they would react strangely to the color black.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of see this as like similar to the Antarctica. This could kind of be almost caused by anything, you know? So it could be caused by, you know, bacteria, or if you go into like a fantasy, like magic, or even kind of like folklore, it could be where like fairy rings came from. You know, the idea that, you know, you get caught in like a fairy ring and there's like a party going on, and if you join in the dance, you kind of get stuck there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what I really liked about it is that the people didn't know what really caused it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it would recur shortly around times of trouble. Like after the Black Plague, about 10 years, there was a massive outbreak of dancing mania. Okay. And then they're trying to cure the victims, but like through isolation or exorcism. But if you start to think it's contagious, either like even psychologically, then you're going to try to, what are you going to do? You're going to kill the victims or, you know, restrain them until they like, you know, bones break and then.
Yeah, it'd be really fun to kind of play it in, like in the epidemic kind of sense.
Yeah.
Where it's spreading really rapidly and you have to try and find out the cure or contain it or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of times the epidemic is, you know what it is, mm-hmm. and it's avoiding the problem. Like, maybe that's why people don't like talking about, well, I think people like talking about it, but sorry, people don't like playing Zompocalypse. Mm-hmm. It's because they kind of know what it is, so every story is kind of the same.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, imagine you see like the one person in the city and then they start dancing. Mm-hmm. And then they're like a magnet for crazy.
Yeah.
And just the fear, like how much is that going to build if you're on a spaceship and someone starts dancing?
That'd be pretty cool, especially like enclosed area.
Yeah, and yeah, you're sealing off the ship, not because there's breaches, mm-hmm. but you're sealing off the ship because that's people are starting to dance, that's and it's cool. a very physical manifestation. Of course, you see, I've seen that done in good effect in movies and that, where people start getting like some sort of psychosis because they're mm-hmm. out, like some spacer psychosis.
Yeah.
But that's very, very subtle.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe they're paranoid or irrational, but there they just start
space madness.
Like dancing, and you just start like people, who's going to get it next? Because yeah. you don't know what the transmission is.
I'd like to do it. Could be mimeticons. That'd be really fun. If you spread by sight. Could you imagine if that worked on YouTube then? Some guy watches a video and then they start dancing.
That would be really good. Yeah. It's a viral video to another level.
Literally, yeah.
They actually do that in Eclipse Phase too.
Oh yeah.
Not
yeah.
the dance. It's something called a basilisk hack, and basically, kind of like the giant AIs, the Titans. They found out, you know, exploits and loopholes in the human mind, and they can be attacked through either, you know, visual, audio, or like tactile
That's
stimuli.
Right. Just looking at the right thing.
Yeah.
And just to wrap it up, sorry, because we're running out of time on this one, is just the transmission is. It's just an end game. It's over when they start to dance.
Yeah.
The question is, how did they get it? And who's going to get it next? So the game becomes less of fight the zombies and avoid the bite. Because look at that. Vampires bite. Werewolves bite. Mm-hmm. Zombies bite. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is. So it's like,
I don't
know what caused that. Are they watching TV? But you're not going to go up and check because then you'll start dancing.
Right.
So it's like, imagine that. How sad that would be. It's like, your friend just starts dancing upstairs. You can hear the thumping. And you just look, and you've got to leave the house.
That's awesome. What a cool...
And then you just start hearing it. Instead of like zombies running out of doors or breaking windows and attacking cars, you just start hearing the dum 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 dum.
That'd be pretty scary.
Yeah.
And you're just, oh, let's go. All right. Well, that's it for Europe. So we go on to...
Oh, moving on to, South America.
Yeah, we already ran a little long there.
So, South America, I guess, this one was kind of hard too, actually. And just in kind of locking something down for South America. But we eventually went with, living dinosaurs.
We kind of cheated
that. Yeah, we kind of cheated. Well...
We imported them from Africa.
But... Well, yes and no, because what I was going to say is...
Africa is more famous.
Yes, right, it's more famous for it, but... Probably more erroneously so, because like the arguments against the dinosaur cryptids is that the Congo Basin and like the Great Rift Valley didn't form until like well past the extinction in the Cretaceous period. Like they formed like 35 million years ago, and the last dinosaurs died out like 65 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the area in Africa was very, very different during the time that dinosaurs lived. Whereas, it's still a stretch, but the Amazon rainforest was actually around like 55 million years ago. So, and still 10 million years. But, fact is, it's kind of, if they were to exist, that would probably be a more likely place.
Yeah, migration.
Well, yeah, exactly. That too.
But, sorry.
So anyway. So, the other interesting...
I don't think the living dinosaurs would have migrated. I think they kind of... The idea is that they are stuck in their old... The land beyond time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. The other thing I was going to say that I thought was kind of interesting was Ica stones, I-C-A stones.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stones found in Peru that were etched with various things such as like spacecraft, surgery, and Aztec and Inca-style people riding dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And... The stones couldn't be carbon dated because they didn't have any organic particles in them.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out now that they were a hoax made by somebody. But I thought that was a pretty cool tie-in to the fact that there could be dinosaurs in the Amazon jungle. Because here you kind of have the quote-unquote proof in these etched stones of Aztecs riding dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was kind of weird that Africa kind of didn't have that. Even though Africa's kind of more famous for having the living dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I realized that living dinosaurs aren't really that horrific, but...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Where would you go with this in a horror sense?
Well, I kind of see it as, I was talking earlier, like Jaws, right? Mm-hmm. Jaws, it's an animal. Yes, sharks are scary, but I would argue that, some dinosaurs were scary too. But if you kind of spun it in that you only showed... If you built it up like a mystery, kind of similar to Antarctica, mm-hmm. in that the players were never really sure what they were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of the reason why Jaws is so scary. I would argue, like the movie. You don't see the entirety
Yeah, but they kind of knew it was a shark.
All right, fair enough. Fine, fine. All right, just blow a hole in that boat. Right. So I think
it was the big reveal at the end of the movie that it was a shark.
All right. I think if done well,
spoiler.
Kind of, all right, could you let me finish? God damn it, I'm getting paid back for cutting everybody down. All right. I think regular things can be horrific if treated in the correct light. You know, if you kind of wrap enough mystery around it or do it in a certain way, those things could be pretty scary. And similar to Lyle's and Antarctica thing, I thought if you kind of, I almost thought like a 1930s kind of like pulp adventure that kind of turns into a mystery and essentially kind of turns into like a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I think that is the challenge with the living dinosaur, is that the Jurassic Park is not, it's scary. I mean, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, the sound of its footsteps, the vibrations of its footsteps.
Oh no, it has the same fight as dance.
It starts dancing.
Sorry. Sound of the footsteps. I couldn't. That one was too hard to resist.
Boom, 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 boom. And even the dinosaurs start dancing. Yeah. Actually, that would make it more horrific. But it's kind of an adventure game. I think it's too much. And I guess it's the problem with a dragon. A dragon, when you really think about it, is a very horrific beast. Mm-hmm. But because we just think associate. Dragon slaying, knights, damsel in distress. It has a lot of that regular fantasy baggage.
Yeah, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. And the dinosaurs, I think, because a lot of times when we think about dinosaurs, you're either thinking as a scientist or you are thinking of
Jurassic
pulp,
Park.
Or like Land Before Time.
Land of the Lost, yeah.
Like, yeah, who wants to be bitten in half? I mean, really, if you had a choice, I'm going to bite you in half or I'm going to cut a little bit of your scrotum, which is the Mooney murder, you're like, wow. Take a little bit off the scrotum.
That's why I would argue. That's why I think like the small. That's probably why the raptors featured more heavily in Jurassic Park. Because I would argue that, like the smaller ones are scarier because they can hide.
It's
places.
This, also the swarm. Remember when those little dinosaurs,
the Compsognathus,
they swarm Newman.
That's oh no, that you're thinking of the fake Dilophosaurus.
Oh,
like
that's right.
And the,
no, the other guy gets swarmed by the little ones.
The little girl in the second movie, she gets eaten by the little ones.
Does she?
In the
movie?
Beginning of the second movie. The very first.
That's pretty dark. When the thing washes
up.
You don't see it. I was thinking.
But I would say, like, if you saw a tiger or a bunch of spiders, or like poisonous spiders, of course.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be more afraid of the spiders, wouldn't you? Because a tiger, you can focus and fixate on it. So. I mean, it can be quite fast, but it seems like it's easier to avoid. Exactly. And that's the problem with the dinosaur. And even if you do it, it's going to sneak up. How does a Tyrannosaurus Rex sneak up on somebody? That's one of the big flaws of the Jurassic Park is they don't hear it the second time when it comes. It's like, what, we didn't notice?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of movies that feature big monsters like that, they also go into the small versions of them.
Cloverfield
yes, with the little tick things. And less effectively in the American version, Godzilla 2000, the Matthew Broderick one. They had little baby Godzillas. But, I mean, they're basically velociraptors in that movie. But exactly for that reason.
I think I would try and do it maybe more like, the small ones would be scarier. You could also try and do it like the party sets off to do something else, similar to the Antarctic one. And this thing just, you only get hints of it, like a footprint or spore or broken trees or like legends from whatever tribe you run across. So I think if you kind of try and build up the tension that way before actually having like a reveal. So, I mean, it might not be horrific, but I'm trying to build up some kind of tension.
I agree. Like, like Jaws, you know, build it up to where there's something, you may know what it is, you may not, but it's dangerous, it's attacking, it's destroying everything in its path, and you've got to face it.
I think one of the things that made Jaws scary, though, it's under the water.
Right. Yes, hard to see.
Well, I don't even think there's that element where you can't see it, therefore it makes it scarier. What you can't see is, you know, your mind plays tricks on you. But I think water is that, like the ocean, the sea, those are actually scary places for us.
Yeah.
They're like darker than anything on the ground.
Yeah.
You might be able to do that with the Amazon a little bit.
Yeah, so you could do something like...
I think it's similar to what there was in Antarctica because it's that isolation. I mean, if your ship gets hit and destroyed, which Jaws obviously could do, what do you do then? You're in the ocean.
Well, I don't...
Yes, agreed.
I know we're going long on this one, too, but I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. But, like, in addition to, like, being... the way I see the ocean is human beings are completely out of their element. Mm-hmm. We're not adapted. We're not kind of designed to be in the ocean. And you could kind of spin that to the Amazon. Like, you know, like people haven't been here, right? It's almost like there's so many poisonous plants and animals and things that live in the Amazon.
And if you're...
Yeah, but are they the same as us?
If you... No, but I'm not going to the Amazon. However, my player
the character... The tribes could be how to make it horrible. Just like in the King Kong, where they sacrifice...
Now, there's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, so they're very friendly. And it's like when we talked about the Aztecs in Time for War, mm-hmm. and they would basically have their captives, and they would treat them very nicely, because they're going to have pride of place in this massive ritual, and they're going to sacrifice you to their great dinosaur god.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. Cannibals often smile a lot, and it's not friendly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to retitle this 888.
Yeah, yeah.
Too bad there's not an eighth continent. I guess the moon.
North Pole. Ocean. North Pole. Evil Shanda.
Yes. So.
Oh, yeah. So for the last
finish
one,
up on North America.
North America. The scariest of all is the Sasquatch.
Scary than living dinosaurs?
Oh, no. Not really. But yeah, that was the one. Like, I actually didn't think I was going to have a lot of time to do research, so I chose something that I knew a little bit about already. I chose
Which
Bigfoot.
Is?
Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, what I said a minute ago. Yeah. Anyway, but looking into it, it was actually more interesting than I thought it was going to be. But, So, for anyone who doesn't know, the Sasquatch is a giant bipedal primate ape man in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. and Canada. And, yes.
He has big feet?
He has big feet, 16 inches, described as about 7 feet tall.
So they range between, like, up to 10.
There are stories of them up to 10 feet in size. Then, let's see. So, why is Bigfoot scary?
In general, it's not.
Exactly.
You beat me to it! God damn it!
I think my reaction is, could the horror be a family chasing with a video camera chasing Bigfoot?
Yeah. And so how would you do it? You are Bigfeet. You're a family of Bigfeet. You have to escape.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was actually
you take a shy herbivore. Build your horror game around that. Well, somebody's eating all the corn in the garden. Always that Bigfoot.
Curse you, Bigfoot!
But it's the unknown, Dad. Aren't our minds playing tricks on us? No. No. Look at the size of this foot.
You could step on your toes. Anyway, so yes, I was beginning to regret having made that choice. But I think the more I thought about it, there are some good ways you could twist it. First off, don't make him a herbivore. Second,
well,
it's
not Bigfoot.
Why? Is Bigfoot a herbivore?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Well,
I think, nobody knows because nobody knows Bigfoot.
Exactly, Bigfoot ain't real.
Basically, it means what? Wild man?
Well, there's a lot of different stories of it. I mean, there's stories of like big hairy men going all the way back to the Native American tribes there.
Yeah, because there was big hairy men way back then.
Oh, that's scary.
That's the thing. Like, they attribute a lot of cultures have stories of wild men, quote unquote. Yeah. So, but it was interesting. The one they said the oldest thing they could find was from an Indian tribe called the Lummi tribe, mm-hmm. and they had stories of these big hairy ape monsters that if you say their name, they'll carry you off in the night. But the name is spelled TS'EMEKWES. I have no idea how you'd actually say that to be carried off in the night.
It's pretty safe then.
Yeah, exactly.
Semquez?
I have no idea.
Semquez.
Probably
Semquez.
Oh, God.
But anyway, yeah. The way I figured to make it spooky in a horror kind of sense
is to have him say Semquez three times.
That's almost like Candyman.
Semquez.
Or Bloody Mary.
But the way I figured it is, you know, set up either where you have a monster movie similar to like what Wayne was saying with dinosaurs where, you know, people are disappearing, things are getting destroyed.
Did I say that? I think you said that.
Like you suggested with the dinosaurs.
All right.
Or something like that. Or conversely, make it like a hunt kind of a story where you have to go after it.
If you're hunting it, how scary is that?
And that's the thing. Like, if you start off with this thing, you find big tracks. Oh, it's Bigfoot. That's not that scary. We know that it's strong, but so what? But turn it around. Make it something that is scary. Make it very intelligent. Make it malicious. You know, make it set traps for you. It starts hunting you vice versa.
It's hunting Littlefoot.
Or, you know, you could, well, you know, okay, cool.
This was a challenge to make this one, I mean, I guess the obvious thing is, just make him more vicious. Mm. Make him a bigger werewolf. Mm. Or something like that. But then just have a werewolf.
Well, some of the things...
Or then there's like there's a legend of the Wendigo, which is like if you commit cannibalism, then you become this like spirit or creature that's very evil. And then you're like, okay, that's kind of like a taboo story, and it leads into this very vicious creature.
Yeah, there's variations.
So what would you do with like a Sasquatch to give it its own spin? Like why... What could you make scary about that legend?
I'll say you can go the H.P. Lovecraft route. So if anyone read that story, the facts surrounding the late Arthur German and his family, spoiler alert, but in that one you find out that the giant kind of ape god creature that this tribe worshipped actually was part of the family. And that's the reason that this guy killed himself, because he found out he wasn't human. So... if you did something like that.
Like a missing link, and it's not so missing.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it like the wider sense in, hey, this used to be humanity. Or you could do a more narrow scope in, hey, I'm descended from this tribe, and that is my ancestor.
See,
even more in the family tree.
I would just play with the stereotype of it. Because, I mean, like, you guys both laughed when you heard the Sasquatch idea. Because it is kind of a little bit ridiculous. But if you actually made it a really dangerous kind of foe, then
people already know it's strong, so you're going to have...
What if it's smart, too?
Okay, so it's a smart, strong thing that's...
Really
I think there has to be, like, to make it horrible, in the true sense of the word, is that it needs to have something disturbing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see like a link to find out, or even not necessarily even related to your family. Perhaps it's just like, I find chimpanzees very disturbing. I've made no secret of that
like
with you too.
Chimp on a baby.
Yeah. I think when you watch like chimpanzees and eating monkeys and stuff like that, it just seems like cannibalism, even though. Oh yeah, maybe they're doing that. Or they commit genital mutilation and that. But maybe it's because a chimpanzee is so close to human. Mm-hmm. So when it eats somebody's face, it's almost like a human's eating your face.
I don't know. I think
if you say, okay, what's a Bigfoot? And you find out it's, yeah, maybe like you say, make it smarter, but not only just like it's a cunning animal, but it has malicious, but you actually find it has like dolls or something like, you know, like little toy dolls, and it's made like a little family.
Mm-hmm. I could do that. Be like, pretty scary. Made from people.
It's almost like we were joking before the podcast, but almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I guess without the
chainsaw.
Yeah, just anything is a ancient evil chainsaw massacre.
You know, it's
we found this chainsaw under the ice.
And next to it, Bigfoot.
Some chainsaws were never meant to be dug out.
Though it's actually kind of sad that it goes away from North America, but I thought the Yeti would be a better version of this because the Yeti lives in like these Himalayan desolate icy landscapes. It'd be similar to the Antarctica thing where the environment is also against you in addition to the animal.
I was thinking about the Yeti angle. No, I didn't see it adding.
Well, but I think
the place where it lives.
Oh, so the Yeti's at least kind of known for being more vicious.
Antagonistic.
Antagonistic as opposed to shy. Yes. I think that's the problem with Bigfoot. Bigfoot is notoriously kind of shy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the things we've seen, he like runs away from the camera.
Now, two middle-aged men with a camera. Better get out of here. Maybe you could do like Blair Witch.
Or is it where you find a camera
and people don't believe it, but then you're like, but who took the pictures?
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe people think it's a hoax and that you took the pictures, but you're trying to convince people, no, I just found this camera. I didn't actually film anything.
So then Bigfoot is a vehicle for a different kind of horror.
Yeah, exactly. Really Bigfoot. It's just pictures of Bigfoot.
It's a horror game.
But you
game.
Play on the hoax. You actually, you kind of meta. And it's like, yeah, all the Bigfoot urban legends and hoaxes. There was a recent hoax where it was just like rubber feet and stuff. Mm-hmm. All of that is in your world. And that's why when you're trying to convince people that...
Mm.
That's not shy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it leaves no witnesses or something like that.
Yeah.
But I still think it would be pretty disturbing to find that it's actually pretty close to mankind, or it's like one chromosome removed or something.
Like chimpanzees?
Yeah. And it's got like its little house, you know. Like Planet of the Apes when they're doing that archaeological excavation.
The original, yeah.
And it's like they have that baby human doll and all of that stuff, and it was so close to home, I guess, that it makes that really sad that archaeology, because you're like, those are our artifacts, mm-hmm. and it's just ancient history, and it's kind of like creating its family, or maybe it has no family left, so it's kind of sad.
It's only one left or something.
But it's starting to think it's human, and it's got its little bed or whatever, and then, I don't know, maybe it kidnaps
people.
Yeah.
People. Maybe like it, maybe rape. I was thinking kind of thing. Rape's very disturbing. Maybe it's raping women. It can't actually breed with them, but it's going to keep trying. Of course, they don't survive. So you're kind of combining it with, like, the worst type of human with this urban legend.
Yeah.
8 foot tall, hairy urban legend.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned werewolves before, actually. That was one of the first ideas for a game I had, is to throw werewolves against it.
Werewolves versus Sasquatch?
Yeah, well, just
that'd be a pretty one-sided thing. Werewolves.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
I just figured, like, in the game, the World of Darkness werewolf game, the werewolves are so strong and tough. I think it'd be fun if they were against a creature that they, very surprisingly, it was much more powerful than they were. And that wouldn't be a horrific game at all, but,
Yeah, anyway. I guess I saw them kind of equal strength.
I don't know. Creature that doesn't exist versus other creature that doesn't exist.
It's hard.
Yeah, who's stronger?
I read online that based on the estimated size and weight of Sasquatches, they say they could probably bench press about a ton. There's some trivia for you.
Without their spine collapsing?
Yeah. Well, gorillas and chimps are pretty strong. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I don't know why we
end on a bang.
Went long on Sasquatch. Yeah.
Because there's so much there. The best one.
So much there. That's why we saved it for last. Oh, yeah. Oh. Can I just say one thing I didn't want to interrupt? The space St. Vitus dance?
Yeah.
The moonwalk.
Oh, how horrifying would that be? Just the sliding. Do you hear sliding? I don't know. I can't hear it over there's the 2 minutes of rain.
Oh! Did Jacobs just slide past the window?
Yeah, and then for some reason it's always like Smooth Criminal. Uh oh. It's not like dun dun, it's bum 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 bum.
You know,
I should be scared, but
it's so groovy.
Alright, well, so we visited seven continents.
Did seven horrors.
We did seven horrors. If you're gonna do a game tomorrow.
Totally werewolves versus Sasquatch.
Which we know.
Oh, I thought you said that wasn't horror! You said that wasn't horror!
You know, actually.
Please take this seriously, Chris. So, if you're gonna do a game tomorrow, I guess restarting, I'm ignoring this werewolf. And you can't say werewolves versus Sasquatch.
You know, there's actually a movie, Werewolf versus the Yeti.
So what would you do?
You know what he's gonna do.
Actually, of all the ones that we talked about, I think the thing under the ice is probably the most interesting, especially with, I said it my own idea, but the idea of controversy within the party, the enemy within.
Okay. All right, so you'd redo the thing. All right.
I'd probably do biker gangs.
What would you do with that?
I don't know. I just like the fact that it's, like we kind of discussed, it's really mundane, and it kind of starts really quiet. Like, I mean, yeah, okay, everybody knows biker gangs are kind of rough, but as long as they don't do anything illegal, they're kind of untouchable a little bit. So, you know, the things kind of start out pretty low key, but I just kind of like the sense of creeping dread that the players would get as this thing kind of builds up.
You know, with a biker gang, you could really just sort of, like, different than some of the other horrors, or maybe all of the other horrors, is you kind of commit and say, this is what the horror is. You know, living dinosaurs, you're not going to do, like, a change and say, oh, and it's a, you know, a cultist living dinosaur, you know. Yeah, or like an alien. It's a, you know, he stands up on his hind legs. And it's like, yeah, where all my spaceship's coming. But with biker gangs, you can keep, you can see how the players are reacting to it and then keep dropping different elements. I think you could do a quick, you can make it more political, you can make it less political, you can make it more supernatural, you can pull back if the players aren't responding to that, and that's like kind of nothing.
You know, I also see them as also really horrific just because it is so mundane, but the things they would do would be so horrific.
Living dinosaur or surrounded by bikers, you'd probably like, I don't think the dinosaur might try to eat me. I don't think the dinosaur necessarily just try to hurt me. Yeah. Whereas they were going to. Yeah, or if I'm with my wife and surrounded by a biker gang, and it's like, probably she would have a better chance of getting away from the dinosaur, because it might not, which one can I rape? So it would just be, it would go for you, and you might be able to distract it.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy to see that the idea of beggar gangs is more horrific than dinosaurs, simply put.
Yeah, I think that's why I went more. I think that's why I would have done that, yeah. Or would do that. Yeah.
I might do the St. Vitus dance, because it's that unknown that is very in your face.
Well, that scene you described, like the shuffling upstairs, yeah.
Cool. That was good.
Yeah, and it's just like the ancient evil under the ice. It's kind of like, well, you disturbed it. You opened the Pandora's box.
It's your fault.
Yeah, we're there. It's just, it's always there, and I don't know. You can make a whole game, but I think that would be a very exhausting game.
Because you'd be dancing all the time.
Yeah!
I resisted on the saying that one.
All right, well, that was our 777 episode, and the last one in the month of horror. So next month, we'll be taking a little bit of a break.
Some little on the lighter end, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
All right. Well, happy Halloween, everybody. We hope we gave you some ideas if you're planning in this month, if you're planning to have a horror game, which a lot of people choose to do.
Make it scary.
Best of luck.
Yeah. Like I always say, make it matter.
All right.
We'll leave you with that. Thank you again for tuning in on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com. Check us out on Facebook. We have a forum. Please post there. Give us comments because we like seeing comments and we like reading them.
And we'll use them in the episodes.
Absolutely. Stitcher, Drive-Through RPG. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. And thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Drive-Through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week, and we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. DriveThruRPG, the one true source for RPGs. We'll be right back.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.